T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm afraid I can't begin tonight's show without first addressing a story that calls into question the very nature and future of our democracy itself. And I'm talking about last night's Academy of Country Music Awards.
And the winner of the ACM Entertainer of the Year is... No way. We have a tie.
A tie? No! It's supposed to be one artist, one trophy, as God intended when he handed the Emmy to Adam. He wanted for outstanding achievement and pretending like the whole thing was the woman's fault.
Oh. Oh, Stephen. Speaking of the Emmys, that is happening this weekend. On Monday, we will have an Emmy roundup. Welcome, my friends. David, thank you for making us laugh, starting off the show with a laugh. I'm Jordana Green. Paul is off today, as he often is on Fridays, because he is doing a Sunday morning show. So today's a little different. I am with you for just 2 hours, and then our last hour is going to be on tape, because the fact is I wanted to be off today. But because Paul and our schedules are a little screwed up because of this crazy time of COVID, I am working up until 5 o'clock. And why did I ask to be off today? Because tonight begins the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, head of the year, the new year. It is the Jewish New Year. And I saw on Twitter a funny meme that said, what if it was 5780 that was the bad year instead of 21, because this is the Jewish year of 5780, instead of 2020? And everything is going to end this weekend because it's Rosh Hashanah and we're going into 5781 and everything is going to be great now that the year is over. And I only wish that were true. I only wish that were true, that it was 5780 that sucked and not 2020. But friends, we are still without a vaccine. We are still in quarantine. We still have many issues to resolve. Hopefully, God willing, they should be only resolved. It would be great before the end of 2020 as we go into 2021. But alas, so a sweet new year. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good new year. We say Lashana Tova, which translates to for a good year. And you will be hearing more about Rosh Hashanah at 3:20. One of my husband's teachers and a dear friend of our family, Rabbi Avigdor Goldberger, who is the director of the Minneapolis Community Kollel, which is a teaching institution here in Minnesota, is going to join me at 3:20. And he's going to give us a very brief, albeit inspiring, lesson about Rosh Hashanah, which is why we eat apples and honey, why the challah is round. You should check out my round challahs. Look on at Jordana Verde on Instagram, and you can see my round challahs. I baked all day yesterday, and I made challahs. The children are off now delivering to friends that I'm just gifting them with a round challah. I thought maybe they wouldn't have, people that are older that maybe couldn't get out to buy one. So so there's lots of traditions in this holiday of Rosh Hashanah, and we are starting the 10 days before Yom Kippur, our Day of Atonement. These are what we call the high holidays in Judaism. And that is why, I've made a long story longer, that is why I will be leaving you at 5 o'clock, and David will be playing tapes of interviews that we have previously done at 5 o'clock so I can go and prepare a meal with my family, for my family, and we can begin our holiday together. So it's a fun holiday. You know, most Jewish holidays are, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. This is not that. That's pretty much every other Jewish holiday. Maybe not Yom Kippur, that's a Day of Atonement, but that's pretty much how they all go. But nobody was trying to kill us here. It's not mentioned in the Torah, but it is the head of the year, the new year, that we will celebrate. So it is celebratory and reflective, because as we make New Year's resolutions on January 1st, we Jews often make resolutions on Rosh Hashanah to go into this new year as well. So that's what I'm thinking about today. It's been on my mind, and I will share a little bit of history and some Torah thoughts a little bit later in the show. My kids are not thinking about this necessarily, as this morning when they busted into my bathroom, because when you have three teenagers, there are no boundaries. There is no privacy. It's like having toddlers that follow you into the bathroom. They grow up to be teenagers. They're pretty devastated about TikTok. And they said, "Mom, TikTok's going away on Sunday." And I have been following the updates of what is happening on TikTok, because they kind of love TikTok. So today you heard in the news, which I can't believe that like TikTok is a news story, but it really is. The Commerce Department announced it will ban U.S. business transactions with China-owned social apps, WeChat and TikTok. Now, WeChat, was my understanding, was sort of like the Chinese Twitter. Is that right, David? Sort of a Chinese Twitter and sort of like a marketing outlet?
Yeah, but it really is the Chinese Twitter, Facebook, and Venmo, like all tied into one. They use it for a ton of different things.
You have friends in China. Do you use WeChat to communicate with them?
I used to have WeChat on my phone, and then it was a number of years ago now that some of the security concerns came to light, and we stopped using it and chose to use other apps. But I have people that I know in China, and it's becoming increasingly more difficult to find an app mm-hmm. that works in both places, because China for a long time has banned Facebook and Google and a lot of
Twitter.
Our companies, and now the U.S. is banning theirs, so there's
Correct.
Really not a lot of apps left that let you communicate with somebody in China.
China doesn't use WhatsApp?
I don't remember about that one specifically, but I don't
okay.
think you can use that.
Yeah, and you may not be able to. I use WhatsApp for people in Israel or in Europe. So I use that, but I don't know. I don't have friends and colleagues in China the way you do. So this whole Twitter, this whole TikTok thing is very concerning to my children. The announcement has set up two timeframes for WeChat and TikTok. A full ban on WeChat is happening on Sunday, along with a ban on updates and maintenance on TikTok. So like my kids have TikTok downloaded on their phone. They can still use it, but there are no updates and there is no maintenance. So I asked them to join me at 4 o'clock, because my son is not a huge fan of TikTok, even though he's on it, but the girls really like it. So I just want to share with you how they're using it, why they like it, and why they're afraid it's going to go away. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, our dear friend Rabbi Avigdor Goldberger is going to school us about Rosh Hashanah. Welcome back, 319. As promised, a little explainer on Rosh Hashanah. It is the head of the Jewish New Year. We have many traditions, many different fun and interesting things that we do. I asked a dear friend and my husband's personal teacher, Rabbi Avigdor Goldberger, who is the director of the Minneapolis Community Kollel, to join me to talk about Rosh Hashanah and what it all means.
Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. We don't do December 31st, January 1st in the Jewish calendar. It's a new year. It's typically marked, instead of with raucous parties, it's a day of judgment, so to speak. Kind of think of it as a job interview for the coming year. So basically, God reviews us all, and he decides, what's your year going to be like? Hopefully, this 5781 will be a little bit better than 5780.
Tell us about that number, 5781. How did we get there?
Well, Jewish tradition believes that the world was created 5,781 years ago. So this year is going to be 5,781. As simple as that.
And that's, of course, our world. There may have been a world before that included things like dinosaurs, but we mean our world right now that we're living in.
Correct. I mean, to answer that question goes on a whole different rabbit hole and deals mm-hmm. with the meaning of time and how you measure time and all that sort of stuff. Maybe I'll come back on a different time to discuss all that.
That sounds good. Tell us a little bit about the Rosh Hashanah traditions. We know we eat apples and honey. Tell us why.
Well, we do a lot of little symbolic things to try to show that we want to have a great year. So apples and honey, sweet new year. We eat sweet foods. We have all sorts of little symbols that we eat by our meals. For example, in my family, we have life cereal. We put it on the table and we say, may we have a wonderful life. Also, some people have the custom to put out dates because we like a lot of dates. You know, those are important.
We also eat a round challah. Why?
Well, the round challah symbolizes, you know, the circle of life. The things that are round don't have beginnings, don't have end, and the calendar is not linear. It's circular. What goes around comes around. That's the idea behind the round.
I know there's also 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah, which is our new year, and our Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, which makes these next 10 days, you know, very significant for the Jewish people. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, the high holidays, as they're called, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, comprise 10 days. And those are 10 days of being close to God, of repentance, reflection on, you know, our lives and what we've done wrong perhaps in the past, but really also looking forward towards the next year. It's a great way to start the year off with a bang and with a focus.
Should people make resolutions?
Yes, but I'd say the greatest piece of advice that I've heard about resolutions is whatever you were thinking of taking on, cut it in half and then cut it in half again and do that.
Then we'll actually keep them?
That's the idea.
Okay, when you're speaking with people that are learning with you about Rosh Hashanah, do you have sort of a thought that you leave them with for this new year?
Yeah, let me tell you kind of a little thought that I heard this year, which really struck home with me. Imagine you're walking down the road and you hear a poor, hungry, starving child. And the pitiful cry of this starving child. And it moves you so much that you're just prompted to create an organization at that moment. You're going to start, devote your life towards helping starving children. And so you start off, you build, food kitchens and, you know, soup kitchens and try to help people identify where people are that are starving. And as you become more successful in this endeavor, you start branching out to other cities, to other countries, gaining people. People come in, they join you in your efforts, and you're motivated by this cry that you heard of the child. And then as your organization grows, what happens typically is, you know, you start getting stakeholders and shareholders, and then you have marketing, and then you have events, and you have all these different things that you need to support the organization. And after a while, you realize that you're listening to the stakeholders, you're listening to the board members, you're listening to the marketers, you're listening to all this other stuff that's details surrounding the organization, and you've forgotten that child's cry, which motivated you to start all this. Our lives are kind of the same way. We have a motivation that makes us want to live, a purpose, a meaning for life. And that's a cry, a primal cry that calls out from deep within ourselves. And then we take that purpose and we go and start building our lives around that purpose, right? So we have schedules and we have jobs and we have careers and we have families. And there's a lot of details in all that. And what happens inevitably over the course of the year is that we start listening to the details, and the details become louder and more, take over our daily decisions. And we forget why it is that we're doing what we're doing. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. It's a ram's horn. It's just a loud, piercing sound. And the idea is that the beginning of the year, we have to stop all the details, stop all the distractions and all the systems that we've set in place for our lives and reconnect with the core emotion, which is the reason why we're doing what we're doing. So that's really the purpose of Rosh Hashanah. We need systems in our lives. We need organization. We need details. We need lots of different little elements in our lives. But there's one underlying reason why we're alive, why we live, what our purpose is, and that's that sound. So this Rosh Hashanah, if you're anywhere near a synagogue or you're out in the field and you may happen to be at a shofar blowing, when that shofar blows and you hear that piercing sound, the call is reconnect with your purpose. Why did I start all this in the first place? Why am I here? Why do I do what I do on a daily basis?
Rabbi Goldberger, director of the Minneapolis Community Kollel, that was so beautiful. I wish you and your family a healthy, happy, and a sweet new year. Lashana Tova, my friend.
Thank you very much. You as well.
You know, that's one of the reasons, and I apologize for my audio in that. I was on speaker with him when I recorded that interview. It's one of the reasons I connect with my religion so much, and I am, of course, a Jew, a practicing Jew, is because lessons like that bring my Judaism to the present day. I can connect with that message of Rosh Hashanah, you know, which is an ancient holiday, and there are lots of traditions and things that we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. But that sound of the shofar, even metaphorically, even if you're not around a shofar, you can imagine hearing a loud horn blow, and it makes you stop and check in with yourself and say, am I living my life's purpose? Which is something that we can do on the secular New Year, January 1st. But hey, good reminder to do it today. The leaves are changing. We're in this time of change, hopefully of growth. So it is a good reminder to just gut check, take a moment. Am I living my purpose? If not, how do I get back on track? If I am, how do I move everything forward? So very grateful to Rabbi Goldberger for his time. I know he's busy today getting ready with his family. When we get back, some basics for meditation breathing, right? It's a good time to reset. If you've been doing the breathing exercises every day with me, great job. If you are new, we're going to start again from the beginning, you know, as almost as if it's the new year. Just some really basic meditation moments. It will be at Jordana Verde. I'll do it live on Instagram and live here on the radio. And then Tim Lammers will join us with movies that he suggests for the weekend. Time to breathe. Time to relax just for a moment. Because it is the official beginning of the Jewish New Year, we are going to go back to basics here. You can do this exercise with me on the radio, WCCO Radio right now, or you can do this exercise with me live on Instagram at Jordana Verde. We try to do breathing exercises as much as we can at this time every day. So again, I just wanted to take you back to the beginning. Breathing and meditation go hand in hand. And sometimes we get tripped up with how many in-breaths, how many out-breaths, what do I hold? Today, we're just going to do mindful breathing. That means you don't have to do anything. Sit comfortably. Just get in a comfortable position. You can lay down if you've been at your desk all day and just relax. I just want you to breathe. Breathe in and breathe out. No counting, no tips. Breathe in and breathe out. All I want you to do is think about your breath. Hear it. Listen to your breath. You might notice how your body feels. If your mind wanders, that's okay. Bring it back to your breath. That's it. And if you can do this for 5 minutes a day, no tricks, nothing weird, just breathing in and breathing out and thinking about your breath, you are officially meditating. And that will help your focus. It will help lower your blood pressure. It will help you stay calm. So once again, back to basics. Do nothing but breathe in, breathe out. Only thing you have to think about is your breath. In and breathe out, and you're officially meditating. 5 minutes a day will change your life. And I want to leave you with one thought. As this year ends, its curses should end, and the new year and its blessings should begin. I wish that for all of you. Breathe in those blessings.
Build your own place. Own your own horses.
Something doesn't feel right.
It's not your job to worry. You leave that to your husband.
It scares me that you actually think that.
So you're back here full time?
Oh, yes. We've just bought a beautiful farm in Surrey, and we're thinking of a pied-à-terre in Mayfair.
It's just small talk.
I saw some deposits you made. It's nowhere near what you're spending.
Don't worry. I have a huge check coming in at the end of the month. Everything's going to be fine.
Is it?
Ooh. whatever it is, it sounds terrifying. Tim Lammers is joining us. His movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at minnesotapersonalinjury.com. And as always, Tim joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. It sounds scary, Tim.
I'll tell you in a second if it is. First of all, most importantly, happy Rosh Hashanah to you, Jordana.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. You should have blessings in the new year. And the past year, the curses should end. We should only pray.
Let's hope so. Well, that's certainly not the case for Jude Law and Carrie Coon in The Nest. You're right. It does kind of sound scary. And in a way, it is when you consider these two people having marital problems. He has been giving people the appearance he's a big shot, has lots of money, but truth of the matter is he starts outspending his means and the marriage starts to fall apart. I have mixed feelings about this. I really do love Jude Law, and Carrie Coon is a terrific actor as well. But, you know, the question is, do you really want to go to see a movie about marital problems? And I should note that this is in theaters in the Twin Cities. This is actually opening in limited release. So check your listings if you do want to see it in an actual theater. But again, you have this movie. You have a movie like Marriage Story last year on Netflix with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. Again, terrific acting. So depressing as far as the subject matter is concerned, though.
Right. I'm divorced. I got my own marital problems. I don't need to see it on the... I don't need to pay to see it.
You could be divorced. You could have a great marriage, but every marriage is filled with ups and downs.
Of course.
You know, so, hey, this is entertainment, kids. Well, I don't know. It depends on who you ask. And I guess maybe the only upside to a film like this is looking at it and say, you know what? Maybe my marriage isn't so bad. You know?
Oh, there you go. Appreciate what you got.
It's like people wanting to read about, you know, celebrities in trouble. It's like, you know, at least, you know, they're having the bad times, not me, you know. So it makes you feel better that way. But no, it just really, it's a good movie, you know, from the perspective of acting and everything. But subject matter, I can certainly pass on that for something else.
Well, I hope this one is more uplifting, but I have questions. So there's a new video on demand release called Robin's Wish, and you write that this is a documentary about the last 2 years of Robin Williams' life. So is this depressing as well?
Well, you know, that's a tough one to approach because you're right. I mean, the end of Robin Williams' life was very tragic. I mean, age 63, he died in 2014. The interesting thing about this film, Jordana, is we get this from the point of view of Robin's widow, Susan Schneider. Many think, and it was widely reported, that depression led to his suicide. But Susan revealed that after Robin's death, in the coroner's report, that the cause of death was diffuse Lewy body dementia. And simply, he was not of the right mind when he ended his life. He simply didn't know what he was doing. They said, the doctors, that every single part of Robin's brain was devastated by this incurable disease. And on top of that, you know, he didn't know it. So, you know, they didn't know what signs to look for.
Wow, that's fascinating. I hadn't heard that. And
yeah,
you just
it is fascinating. So what you get, I mean, yes, you have bits and pieces. You have stories of him at the beginning. You have stories, wonderful stories, like of him and Christopher Reeve being friends at Juilliard, and how when Christopher, you know, had the accident and became a quadriplegic, how he took care of him, how much he cared for the American soldier and went on USO tours and sat with soldiers that were injured in hospitals for hours on end. I mean, you get all these wonderful things about him. But what you also get, again, these stories told through his widow, through friends, through neighbors. The only real name people in there are director Sean Levy and producer David E. Kelly. They are in it because they could clearly tell something was wrong with Robin while he was working on The Last Night at the Museum film and while he was working on the television show The Crazy Ones. So, yes, I mean, it just paints everything in a whole new light.
Yeah.
And again, the doctors, they said that this was the worst case of Lewy body dementia that they had ever seen. So There was a lot of unknown struggles that this man was going through when he ultimately, you know, passed away.
For sure. And this is video on demand, so you can just search this up?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's on video on demand. Mm-hmm. I rented it on Amazon. You know, I'm not plugging them. I mean, you can get it everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's just where I found it for $6.99. But, you know, Google Play, whatever. If you're a Robin Williams fan, yes, I mean, it is depressing and it is sad and you'll cry. But you'll also realize how much light this man brought into so many people's lives. Mm-hmm. So, in a way, I mean, yes, it's a celebration of his legacy. And again, it just sets the record straight because they showed clips immediately after his death. The speculation was all over the place as to what went wrong and why he would do such a thing. Some saying, well, I heard he had financial problems and blah, blah, blah. Nobody was checking facts. And nobody really even knew because, again, this didn't come out until later on in a coroner's report. So from that standpoint, it is very, very fascinating.
Tim Lammers, always a pleasure. Thank you for these great suggestions. And as always, Tim's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Early voting starts today in Minnesota. What does that mean and how can you make that happen for yourself? Sloan Martin joins us from the newsroom next. It's 3:51. Jordana Green. David is bobbing along to Little Vanilla Ice. Save that for the winter, buddy. It's a beautiful day out here. Friday in Minnesota. Gorgeous day. Thanks for hanging with me. Jordana here. Paul is off as he is doing his Sunday show. Someday he'll be back with me on Fridays. I look forward to that. I miss him because he does the weather a lot better than I do. Voting. I woke up to a text this morning from my mom that said, are you voting today? And I thought, no, I'm not voting today. But yes, then I realized I could if I wanted to and not just by mail. Yes, early voting starts today. Our own Sloan Martin did a story on this yesterday, and she's here now just to educate you about where and when you can vote, how to do it, just give you the whole lowdown. Sloan, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, Jordana. Yeah, I can talk primarily about Minneapolis because that's where I got kind of the lowdown yesterday and looking at, well, it's not brand new now, but it is still fairly new in the headquarters over in Northeast on Hennepin Avenue East. And just seeing what they're doing there. And it starts with, of course, the precautions because you can still vote in person. So they kind of redesigned the queue inside to allow more people safely inside in case there is inclement weather. But of course, we're one of four states that are allowing early voting, along with Virginia, South Dakota, and Wyoming. And now starts the time when people can either in person or through the mail, those are going to be going out, start to cast their ballot in this general election. And Jordana, I wanted to say too, I just saw this tweet from Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. We've known how important, how big those mail-in requests in the city of Minneapolis. It's record shattering, over 114,000. But in the state, according to the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, about a million Minnesotans have requested absentee ballots on this date in 2018. That was 70,000. So a million versus 2 years ago, 70,000. So we know that's going to be a huge factor.
You know, it's interesting because my husband requested his absentee ballot. And I have voted absentee before when I've been out of the state or wasn't sure I could make it. But this time I thought to myself, you know what? I really want to go on election day and cast that vote. I want to get my sticker. I want to fill out that circle. I feel like it's symbolic, at least for me. It's always symbolic. I always cry a little bit. But I felt like it was just a really important election. And I wanted to cast my ballot in person. But you can do that now. If you know your polling place, where it's not like your regular polling place where you go to on election day. So tell us where the sites are that are set up and how can people find a place to vote in person right now?
Well, I would definitely suggest the Secretary of State's website. That's going to be the easiest to break things down. I know here locally in the metro, we're looking at your local city hall, the Hennepin County Government Center, for example. Those are going to be the main sort of hubs for getting that done before Election Day. I know that, you know, my little church down the street where is my normal voting location, obviously that is not going to be operating right now. You're correct about that. So definitely to be 100% sure, check the Secretary of State website. You put in just your zip code, where you live, you'll be able to find that closest place. But your best bet after that website is going to be, you know, your local city hall, especially your government center. Your county government will be able to handle that too.
And that's, of course, mnvotes.org, the Secretary of State's website, mnvotes.org. And there are lots of restrictions, though. If you do vote, you have to wear a mask. You have to. Are there other coronavirus changes that you'll encounter when you vote in person?
Well, it's always good to repeat the obvious, Jordana, and that is do not go if you're sick. And that's maybe even another incentive to try and investigate mail-in voting, because what if you're sick on Election Day? I mean, it's obviously extremely important to do, but it's also really important to do to not go anywhere and just stay in your house when you do feel those symptoms before or especially after you end up getting a test if that is confirmed that you have COVID. So that's maybe another factor here in terms of trying to boost up those numbers of mail-in voters. But I mentioned changing the queue. They kind of made it a little bit different inside, and I'm talking specifically about the Hennepin County Elections headquarters on Hennepin Avenue East, where they've kind of change the way things look inside so you can fit more people inside safely. So it's about spacing out. There's big giant screens in front of all the election workers, so there's a lot of thought into that if people do want to vote in person.
MNVotes.org. Sloan Martin, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.